that's what happens when Tim's not here. Hello, everybody. This is North Shore Sports Night. I'm Rick Moore, ordinarily along with Tim Kearns. Our producer and engineer is Bill Proposky. And Tim may or may not be with us tonight due to various circumstances, so we hope that he'll be checking in later on. Meantime, we do have a rather full show as Fall 2 sports have gotten underway, and we'll be talking with some football coaches tonight. We'll check in with Marblehead High School football coach Jim Rudloff and also with Gloucester High School football coach Dan O'Connor and check out the scoreboard as well. Lots of other information we'll pass along. And then later on, we'll be talking with our usual sports writers, Gary Larrabee, sports historian and golf writer, and of course Mike Grenier, who was a sports writer as well, sports journalist, but also kind of focuses on the Boston Celtics, among other things. And, you know, the Patriots are making news, and I don't know if it's plus or minus. They just lost Joe Tooney. He's gone. Apparently he has signed with the Kansas City Chiefs for $80 million. That's $80 million as a center. And apparently the Patriots have picked up Jonnu Smith from Tennessee for $50 million. So we can see if we if that's worth discussing or not. And, of course, Cam Newton re-signing with the Patriots this week. So all of that's on the agenda, presumably. But, you know, our focus for the main part will be high school sports. And I think to get us underway, it's worth replaying an interview we did over the weekend with Lynn Classical High School basketball coach Tom Sawyer, as they pulled off an amazing, the Rams did, a 59-57 win over Revere in the winter sports opener for the Greater Boston League and Lynn Classical. And I remember Classical did not get to play during the fall and during the winter, and now they are. So we're going to start with that interview with Tom Sawyer, and then we'll be back, if all things work well, we'll be back with Jim Rudloff, the Marblehead High School football coach. Well, it's a great pleasure now to talk with Lynn Classical High School girls basketball coach Tom Sawyer. And, Coach, last time we talked, we were sort of lamenting the fact that we didn't have a jamboree back in December, but that kind of is all washed away now. So congratulations on your win playing winter sports.
Yeah, thank you very much, Rick. First, just to get on the floor last night with our season opening Greater Boston League game at Revere is a win. And then to win the game in overtime as we did, we threw in a buzzer beater. Specifically, Ava Thurman, my sophomore point guard, threw in a buzzer beater to get us to overtime, and then to outlast them in overtime, icing on top of the cake after that.
That's fantastic. And tell me a little bit about the game, and then we can sort of backtrack as to how this is all unfolding. But what about last night's game in particular? Let's just focus on that as though it were a game being played in December or January.
Sure. Good game, good high school game, back and forth. We led most of the first half. They took the lead. We had to rally twice from 4 and 5 point deficits late in the fourth quarter. And as I said, we were down 2 with 5 seconds to go and had to go the length of the floor. And Ava Thurman, who led us with 24 points last night, took the ball and went coast to coast. And just like you watch on TV, the ball leaves her fingertips, falls in the air, the horn goes off. And lo and behold, it falls through the net to get us to overtime.
That must have been so cool. I mean, my goodness, what a way for these kids to start. And then how about an overtime? How'd your kids do?
Yeah, overtime. I mean, we outscored them, 4-2, so we kind of outlasted them.
Okay.
Made just enough shots to do that. And, you know, the first game out, no fall sports, you know, usually with a second season, so. You know, many of the players on both sides have a season under their belt. So to go out and score almost into the 60s for both teams, really, really fun game to be part of last night.
So many people I know, coaches and fans and, parents, administrators, have been, I think, kind of upset, Tom, that Classical and English in particular did not get to play fall sports or winter sports. And so it has to be kind of a great big sigh of relief, the fact that somehow the schedule is being to fit in, and then is getting to fit in, and then you put on top of that going into the Greater Boston League. This is all a head rush.
Yeah, it's I give a lot of credit to the Greater Boston League athletic directors, because most of those schools were in the same position as the city of Lynn, and they got together and they figured out, you know, how are we going to get all three seasons in starting March 1st? And they laid out a schedule for the current season, which is the winter sports season, and then next will be the traditional fall sports, and then final the traditional spring sports. So I give a lot of credit for the athletic directors getting together, getting a schedule for all three sports seasons, and we were lucky enough, because otherwise in the city of Lynn, we wouldn't have been playing basketball. We would have been moved on to the fall 2 sports season, and we would have missed our entire season. So very thankful to be part of the Greater Boston League the way it worked out.
Yeah, I think that's spectacular. But the thing you also pointed out was that the kids don't have any experience in terms of coming into this, and the other leagues like the Northeastern Conference and so on do. They did have some fall sports. They had winter sports, and so the kids were acclimated to whatever protocol it was. How are your kids doing?
They're doing great. Kids are resilient. They bounce back. They're very adaptable to whatever you ask them to do. No complaints about anything, right? It's new. Every time you go in and out of the game, you're supposed to sanitize your hands, and you remind the kids, and make sure you have your mask on at all times. And they're just happy to be playing, and I think that pretty much they do almost anything within reason to play.
Oh yeah, definitely. You mentioned sophomore leading the way on Friday night, Coach. What about your other guys? Your other ladies, what's the makeup of your team?
Yeah, we had Sayla Brinkler, a senior. She had 10 points last night, played really well for us. Our next leading scorer was a junior, Molly Mannion, with 9 points and played all-around effort game. I mean, I told Molly and I told the kids, there was one play that she made in the game, which was her hustle getting back that prevented them from scoring an easy layup. And when you go to overtime, every point, both positively and offensively and defensively matters. That was a huge play. Amelia Pedro, another senior, big steal near the end of the game when we were down and we were trying to come back. Great, a big point in the game. Reese Brinkler, Sailor's sister, is a junior. Tough kid, plays inside for us. We look to her to be our leading rebounder. We need to rebound as a team, but we look for her to be our leading rebounder. And she played very well for us. Another sophomore, Lauren Hennessy, big free throw at the end. She went to the free throw line at the end of the game, and she missed the first, but she made the second. And not only was that one point important, it allowed us to press and get a turnover. Up and down the lineup, we had the plays, and I can't forget, we had a freshman step on the floor, Lauren Wilson, and played tremendous minutes. We had two kids foul out, so we had Lauren, who had played throughout the game, but also got to play in the game, or we needed her to play in the game, in overtime. So, before the game, she told me she was nervous. I hope we exercised some of that out, because, boy, she played really well.
Tom, I can hear the pride in your voice. How many games do you guys have scheduled?
So we have either 6 or 7 quote-unquote regular season games that all kind of hinges on if Chelsea is allowed to play or not.
Mm-hmm.
And then there'll be 3 additional playoff games. I'm not really sure how that's going to work. My guess is the winners keep playing, and probably, if you lose a game, you'll get another game. I guess maybe somebody else who's lost. I think everybody's kind of guaranteed 3 games.
Okay.
So we're looking at 9 or 10 games between now and April 10th.
Well, Coach, it's a different day than it was a couple of months ago, and optimism is the word of the day right now.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think on many fronts, optimism is the word of the day. And we were just excited to give the kids a little bit of normalcy back, and see that. Hopefully the light at the end of the tunnel. And for these kids, it's important. And I have 3 seniors on my roster, okay, and I couldn't be any happier for them that they get an opportunity to finish out their high school career.
All right, finally, Coach, next game and where?
We're home on Tuesday against Medford.
Okay.
So it'll be good. Live stream on YouTube on the Lynn Classical High School TV channel for all that want to work. We're at 4, and the boys follow us at 6.
Perfect. Coach, great talking with you. I'm really happy for you guys, and we'll talk again soon.
All right, Rick. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Coach. Take care. That is Lynn Classical Girls High School basketball coach Tom Sawyer. All right, and from girls basketball, we're going to switch now to Northeastern Conference High School football. And we're going to welcome back in Jim Rudloff of the Marblehead Magicians. And, Coach, welcome back. How are you?
I'm great, Rick. Thank you. Very good.
That's sort of the word of the day. People are happy to be here and out on the field. Jim, how does this stack up against years previous? Man, you've been around a while, and this is kind of a strange setting. And I'm just wondering how you had to modify your preseason schedule before we talk about the team and the game you had.
Obviously, there were a lot of changes that all the teams and all the coaches, you know, had to deal with. You know, the biggest of which we actually, you know, there's a lot of good news to this because everything that we had anticipated with the weather really hasn't happened to this point. You know, we were afraid our fields would be covered in snow. The frozen tundra, you know, kids, with their fingers freezing off, and it's been, we've had relative luck as far as that's concerned. You know, and then the next thing is obviously dealing with, the COVID, and it is what it is. I think we're at the point now with everybody, they're used to wearing the masks. It's insane seeing the kids out there wearing masks as they're doing wind sprints or anything really with football. But it is what it is. The kids are used to it now. It's really, there's nothing to complain about. It just, it's become a part of life,
mm-hmm.
sadly. But we've been very fortunate with the weather. So it's been very enjoyable to be outside because it's been so long since we've done it. But the added, not having that miserable kind of snowing, freezing that I think some of us anticipated, we've been very fortunate.
The continuity, Coach, between the end of last season, the end of the school year, which kind of got messed up, and then the summertime and some practices that you had, you know, in the fall. But then the continuity in terms of, well, are we going to have a fall two season or not? How do you get that across? How did you get that across to your team? And what are the pluses and minuses in terms of their coming in to that first day of practice?
Yeah, it's funny because I would imagine most coaches are a little bit of control freaks, and to have
yeah.
What's happened over the last year and a half, you lose control of everything. You know, there were certain points in time that we felt like we had a good handle on what was going on with the kids. We were able to do some off-season conditioning, you know, last summer, you know, non-sport-specific stuff, getting the kids out on the field running. And then all of a sudden, as we got closer to the start of school, most of the superintendents asked us to stop. Just, you know, the idea of let's get everybody, you know, back into school before we continue having sports or anything like that. So sports kind of came to a dead stop, even if you were doing something over the summer. And we didn't really start up again until really towards the end of September, really the beginning of October, we started being able to, you know, maybe work with the kids one or two days a week. And the problem there, you and I had talked about this before, you know, our coaches weren't being paid, so
mm-hmm.
we really couldn't work football with the kids. I could meet with the kids after school and have them run in the back fields, but you know, the fall sports teams, they all had the field. Our weight room is closed, so finding stuff to do is really difficult. And the hardest sell to the kids was getting them to keep busy, getting kids to join a gym that they might be able to go to, or set up a gym in their house, or to go running or to do push-ups or anything like that. It was really difficult because all the normal tricks that we have up our sleeves, you know, those were spent by the time we had gotten to the fall of last year.
Yeah. How'd you stay positive, Coach? Because nobody knew where this thing was going to go, and you're coaching, you're teaching, you know, and you have a vision. How did you personally stay positive with this?
If you know me well, I'm not that positive of a person when it comes to most things. I usually will dwell on the negative kind of internally. So it was tough. One of the things I will say is that Dan Bauer, as much as begrudgingly, you know, like Dan was very good because Dan made sure, as the principal of Marblehead High School, that everything was positive. And, you know, for me, it was sort of like, oh, yeah, you know, Dan would end an announcement with, you know, and everybody have a great day. And I'd be like, oh, yeah, great day, you know, football, you know. Here we are in the middle of September and we can't get out on the field. And but, you know, honestly, it's people like Dan and being around. A lot of the people that I work with at Marblehead High School are very positive people. The secretaries, the you know, all the other teachers, the staff, the cafeteria people, they're great, you know. And and being around that helps out a lot. And the kids never kind of lost sight of the fact that at some point, you know, we're going to be back out there. I don't know if the kids ever got the seriousness of the coronavirus. So I don't know really how much they were inconvenienced, but I don't think it ever made them negative. So I think that really more than anything else was a big part of it. I did struggle with it. You know, I think all the coaches, they only wanted to be doing one thing last fall. And to not be doing that is difficult.
Right.
And, you know, for us it was, but certainly for the kids it's 100 times worse. You know, they've got a limited amount of time where they can do this, where, you know, us fools, we can stay doing this as long as we want until someone fires us. So
that's the thing, Jim, you know, you're a coach and you're a dad and you're a teacher. And you saw what happened last year. Your own son had stuff taken away from him, as all the seniors did last year. So how do you apply that? What does that mean now in terms of, like, okay, a limited 7-game season or whatever, but it is for your seniors, and it's a special time, and I hate to say it, but in a way, you know, they're lucky. They're lucky to be able to do this right now.
Yeah, and that has made everything easier. So the most interesting thing that has happened this spring to me is, and something that will make total sense, and that's just simply this. Everything you just said is spot on. So each practice we have and each one of those 7 games, even if it gets reduced down to 3 games because, you know, things happen along the way, that everyone is just a gem. You know, it's an absolute gem. Being outside on the field is the best day of the week. You know, every time you get out there, it just gets better every day. The game we played last Saturday, I know from Beverly's perspective, they probably don't feel this way, but it was sunny out. We were on a football field. There were people there. There were cheerleaders. There were people were cheering. The band was playing. You know, you just missed that so much. And then it came back all in one day. And that, I think, for me at least, you know, made everything kind of go away. And so again, you know, you get out on the practice field and you're just happy to be there. The kids are so happy. We have not had to try to motivate anybody to do anything this year. No matter, you know, usually in the past you say, hey, today's a big hitting day. We're going to go, you know, full pads, you know, get all the stuff out for our hitting circuit or tackle circuit, whatever it is, and you'll hear groans, you know. But this year, you know, no matter what you do, the kids are excited. The kids were thrilled to go to the JV game today. The freshmen were fired up. It's really been nice because everyone is in just such a great mood because it feels like things are beginning to open up. And it, you know, whether it is or isn't, to in a football player's mind, at least right now, they're getting some normalcy.
Well, we've talked to so many coaches who have said the exact same thing that you're saying in terms of kids' motivation and so on. But I think the big thing is that their perspective has changed. And, you know, the carpe diem thing that I've had hammered into my life as long as I've been alive, and I never quite understood that because I'm always saying, well, there's always a tomorrow. They're getting that now. They're getting the importance of this and how special it is. And the fact that the other thing, Jim, before we get into the game is the resilience and the I don't know, the logistics of playing football right now, because I think it was St. Mary's and St. John's Prep, they each had their game canceled last week and they ended up playing each other within a two-day scheduled notice. The idea that this is happening, it sort of bodes well to the commitment that education has toward these kids and how important that athletics are to education.
Yeah, I mean, this has been the big theme of, I think, everybody in, whether it's the parents, the school, you know, there's plenty of disagreement out there, but is to get the kids engaged in some way, shape, or form. You know, try to give them as many opportunities, and we may not be able to present all the same opportunities as in a normal year, but give them as many possible opportunities. You know, make sure that you're still able to, you know, put on some sort of a theater production. Make sure that the band, an orchestra are able to be involved in the chorus and all the sports teams. You know, anything that in a normal year should be available to these kids. You know, we've really made an effort in Marblehead to make available, and it's been commendable. I know the parents want everyone back in school. You know, that other people can argue about that as much as they want, but, you know, whether it's getting the kids back, it's just getting them engaged in something, and whether it's in the classroom or on a field or something, that's the biggest thing. And because we do see, you know, there's going to be some damage from this down the road a little bit with these kids that have missed some things. And I'm not talking about games or practices, but they've missed some social things, they've missed some educational things. And, you know, we won't know for a little while what that's going to be, but the commitment of, I think, everyone involved that I've seen, at least, to try to get kids as involved and as engaged as they possibly can in a number of different things has been tremendous.
Let's focus on the game, big game against Beverly over the weekend at home at Piper, and you guys executed. It looks pretty well according to the score and according to Phil Stacey's report, 34-7, and he emphasized how when he talked with your kids, they were just so excited to be out there. But in terms of performance, Coach, first game, critique it for me.
Yeah, you know, if you can't be anything but happy. You know, the kids played great. You know, that we ended up on the good side of the score, so very, very happy about that. The fact that we were able to execute it all after an unusual start to the season, no double sessions, no time with school off. We did everything while we were teaching classes, and that's unusual. You know, as teachers / coaches, not used to having the first day of football be on a day where you taught all your classes too.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very unusual, but the kids responded. They did great. We had a couple key players come back in key positions, and that helped. You know, having our quarterback back, someone that can run the show, was very helpful. Having our free safety back on the defense to do kind of the same thing, and our middle linebacker, our Mike Backer, those three things, having those three people back, were a tremendous help, because those were guys, leaders on different points of attack that needed to be there for us and made things a lot easier on the coaching staff. I had all my coaches back, which was extremely helpful. And then, you know, four probably the best captains I could have, kids that really have stuck out this year and been very, very good, very, very good captains for the team. And those things all kind of came together, and I think, you know, on Saturday, you know, helped us get over the hump a little bit.
Coach, can you mention the captains' names, please?
Yeah, J.T. Monahan, Miles Smith, Mark Paquette, and Cam Janik. They're all seniors, and, you know, a lot of multi-sport guys there. A couple of the guys are already committed to play football. A couple of the guys, Cam Janik's already been accepted at Penn.
Wow.
So, you know, good kids, bright kids. But, you know, they helped put together Saturday, and, you know, just very lucky to have those guys as captains this year.
Well, my daughter goes to school across the street from Penn at Drexel, so maybe she'll run into a kid from Marblehead. You know, Coach, one of the things that, it's always a pleasure talking with you, because no matter how good things go or how bad things go, you always compliment your kids, pointing out, you know, what needs to get better, and you always compliment the opposition. And I find Phil Stacey's paragraph where you talked about your quarterback in terms of reading coverages. And, you know, watching Cam Newton this year after watching Tom Brady for 20 years, reading coverages, that's not easy at any level, is it?
No, it's not. And you know, it can be done in a couple different ways. And a lot of times you try to start out by simply telling the quarterback, you know, whether or not a team is in one high or two high, or changing that terminology, you know, the middle of the field is open or the middle of the field is closed.
Mm-hmm.
But really what you're trying to do is give your quarterback confidence so that he knows where the areas are. The best thing for a quarterback to do is to throw to an empty space and not throw to an open receiver, because it's really difficult for a high school kid to determine when someone is open. And so what's better is to try to determine where are the open spaces. And so reading coverages really helps with that.
I remember you're talking about that to me a while back, and I didn't remember that up until you pointed it out again. I'm a slow read. Coach, coming up this week, you got Peabody. Tell me a little bit about the expectation.
Well, we don't really know a lot about them. Peabody had to cancel their game against Winthrop, so we exchanged our game film against Beverly, which has, you know, us in game mode. And we were only able to get from them their scrimmage tape because that's all they've done. So we've only seen them. And, you know, in any high school scrimmage, usually only the first half is the starters. So we've really only gotten to see them for about a half. They looked very good against Malden Catholic. They were able to move the ball up and down the field. They run a little bit. Quarterback does a very good job of running around when he's in trouble, but has a very accurate arm, keeps his eyes down the field, and his receivers do a very good job of adjusting their routes and coming back to where he is. So it'll be a challenge. You know, it's going to be very different. It's a complete opposite team of what Beverly does. And so for us, you know, what we have to do is just make sure that we're ready for that other style. We had scrimmaged a team in Winthrop that was, big and would be running the ball a lot, and that helped us a lot against Beverly, but we haven't seen anybody sling the ball around yet. So mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see, how we do against Peabody. And they look good, but it's difficult to tell at this point.
God, I'm learning so much from you guys. I've been doing this for 40 years, Coach, and it's still, oh my God, it's amazing. Jim, final thoughts, because all in all, a great week for Northeastern Conference football, and for that matter, Cape Ann League football and the Catholic schools too.
Yeah. Oh no, just to be back out there. I mean, no, you'd be kidding not to say that you weren't thrilled. If you have anything, the parents are happy, and I felt bad. And you know, one of the tough things the other day was only being able to have the home parents there.
Mm-hmm.
I heard stories about members of our Gridiron Club, our boosters, people that have been supporting the football program for 40, 50 years weren't able to get into the game. And it just is what it is that's going on out there. But it just shows you, you know, people are excited. People
yep.
are just happy that this is going on. And hopefully things will open up soon.
Well, Bill Newell said that the Marblehead video coverage was absolutely spectacular. So that's still out there, and people can do that. And the other thing, Jim, I've asked coaches about this, except for your seniors, you know, because it's special for them. This is almost like a college a spring thing, in that you're going to be able to use this in just a couple of weeks or a few months, rather, to get right back into the grind. So it could be a lot of positives, as I think you mentioned earlier.
Yeah, it's a great point. If you look at a team's roster, if they have a lot of sophomores and juniors that are playing this year, as much as that may hurt this season, this spring, it's going to be a huge boost. You'll see teams' offenses and defenses get a little bit more sophisticated next fall if that's the case, because mm-hmm. you've got all these kids returning. And when you look at some of those teams are, Swampscott, Marblehead, Danvers, they're going to be returning a lot of young kids, or kids that, you know, are either all junior teams that are pretty much all juniors or are not that many seniors. You know, that's going to be very interesting next fall, because all of those teams have so many kids that are returning, and they just got done playing football.
Yeah, yeah. Coach, please stay safe. Thank you so much for letting me pick your brain, and I hope to talk with you again in the not-too-distant future.
Absolutely. Thanks, Rick.
Thanks, Jim. Take care.
You too. Bye now.
Bye-bye. That is Marblehead High School football coach Jim Rudloff. They started off with a big win over Beverly on the weekend, beating the Panthers by a score of 34-7. Marblehead, Swampscott, Masconomet, Gloucester, Ipswich, Newburyport, Linfield, St. John's Prep, Northeast, and North Reading, all winners over the weekend. This Friday's game, Friday's games has Swampscott at Danvers, Salem at Gloucester, 5 o'clock start, both of those. Manchester, Essex at Triton, also 5 o'clock. Newburyport at Linfield, 5:30. Greater Lawrence at Essex Tech, 5:30. Saugus at Winthrop at 6. And on Saturday, BC High at the Prep. Masco at Beverly. North Reading at Ipswich. Hamilton Wenham travels to Amesbury. St. Mary's is at Arlington Catholic. Peabody at Marblehead at 2 o'clock. Just talked about that one. Bishop Fenwick at Draycott. That'll be 6 p.m. start. And we're going to have more coaches' interviews coming up all during the week. So please stay with us. Up next will be Gary Larrabee of the, well, Gary Larrabee, of course, sports writer, sports historian, and golf expert. We'll be back.
I'm Bob Gillis, president of Cape Ann Savings Bank, serving the Cape Ann community with stability and commitment for over 170 years. Since 1846, our customers have relied on our local bank service and big bank benefits. Stop by our office as a call to talk about your banking needs at 978-283-0246. Built on community, capeannsavings.bank.
Member FDIC, member DIF, equal housing lender.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is working to help keep you and your community safe from the threat of novel or new coronavirus. Take the following everyday steps to help avoid the spread of all respiratory viruses. Wash your hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. Cover your cough or sneeze with a tissue. Throw the tissue away and then wash your hands. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects or surfaces, such as remote controls and doorknobs. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. And stay home if you are sick. Call your healthcare provider if you develop fever, cough, or difficulty breathing. For more tips, visit cdc.gov.
Okay, we're back now with Gary Larrabee, sports historian, golf writer. And Gary, as I was just telling you, Tim is not here right now, so it's just me. You got to be gentle. How you doing?
I'll be gentle. I'm doing great. I hit 250 practice balls today over at Sun and Air.
No way. No way.
No way is right. If you believe that, you'd believe that the earth...
It's 27 degrees. No, it didn't even get up to 27.
Oh, man, it was cold. But we know we're still getting closer and closer to a playing golf season. We're getting closer and closer to the Masters after Justin Thomas won the Pro Tour event, the Tournament Players Championship yesterday down in Puerto Vedra.
Hmm.
And he only won, though, Rick. He only won $2.7
million. Oh, really?
Which is the highest purse in golf right now. And, I mean, the runner-up, of course, Westwood, won $1.6 million. He's made over $2.5 million, finishing second the last couple of weeks. So,
good Lord.
If on the PGA Tour, we get a real serious countdown as we look ahead to the Masters in 4 weeks, actually 3 weeks.
Well, I'm looking at the scores here, and DeChambeau and Westwood. It was a close finish this weekend.
It was a terrific competition, and it's all often the case, even on a great, challenging, gruesome course like the Tournament Players course down there in Jacksonville, that someone breaks out of the pack. And, of course, yesterday was Justin Thomas who broke out, shooting 68. And he's obviously, I think it's a good sign that we get our top players, Rick, getting their games in shape for, like I said, the Masters. Three more PGA Tour events to go. Then we have Masters Week. And with Thomas winning this week, DeChambeau last week, and
wow,
DeChambeau won the mix again yesterday, those two guys will be really worth watching once we get into Masters Week.
I want to get back to the prep to the Masters in a minute, but I saw, I think it was this week, that Phil Mickelson has fallen out of the top 100.
I believe he has. He hasn't played very well. He played pretty good on the Champions Tour, but... of course, as a three-time Masters winner, he'll be going to the Augusta National every year he wants until he drops dead or decides to retire. So
okay.
He's always out of the top 100 worldwide. I'm sure he'll be playing, picking and choosing when he wants to play the next 3 weeks. And he typically plays the week before the Masters and the week before majors. And of course, this year, the tournament right before the Masters is the Texas Open. So I presume he'll be there because they get the Honda Classic this week in Florida. Then they move to Texas for 2 weeks. The Dell Technologies match play in Austin. And then the week after that, they stay in the Lone Star State to play at the Texas Open before they move to Augusta. So lots to look forward to these next 3 weeks. And, you know, with the big speculation, Rick, is still about whether, Brooks Koepka will be able to recover from his mysterious knee ailment, which kept him out of this week's event. You know, this is the week that every player on the tour wants to play as the biggest purse down there at the Tournament Players Championship. But he had to miss it. I believe he'll miss this week. But let's hope he can play the week before if he wants to get his game in shape at the Texas Open before the Masters. We'd hate to miss Brooks Koepka. It's going to be tough enough without Tiger playing in the Masters this year. But it's just a waiting game at this point.
Yeah, it's wide open, obviously. But, yeah, Brooks Koepka, I'm looking at that, too. Man, he's made some bucks this year. So that's the run-up to the Masters. And three weeks in April? When is that?
Yeah, it's the first full week in April.
Of course, first full week, okay.
Three events coming up to set the stage. And hopefully it'll be warmer here. Come Masters week, it's been the last couple of days. Whoa.
Well, you had me there for a second when you said you're out there hitting balls. And then I read, wait a minute. We had 50-mile-an-hour winds and it's 20 degrees. I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I wait for it to get warm. But we are in the middle of March and counting down the days. We'll be playing some golf around here. And that could definitely come before the end of the month. Just like we started playing in March.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully we'll be starting to play golf around here in March again this year.
And what do you have your eye on locally or regionally, Gary, coming up for this season? What catches your attention?
Well, we haven't got that much major tournament play scheduled on the North Shore. But we have a few interesting things to look forward to. The State Four Ball Championship will be played up in Ipswich. At Turner Hill and Ipswich on May 11 and 12. That kicks off the Mass golf season, competition-wise. You go to the end of the season, we have the Massachusetts Senior Amateur coming to Salem on September 27 and 28. But pretty much everything else is outside the area. So we look forward in particular to those two tournaments. And beyond that, we want to keep an eye on our college players, Rick.
Okay.
Because our most prominent college player right now continues to be Stephen DeLisio from Swampscott St. John's Rep Salem Country Club. He's playing his fourth and final year of eligibility at Duke, and they've gotten off to a very rocky start during the so-called spring season. And Stephen's played in four tournaments and not played very well, shot very high numbers, and the team has not done well. And hopefully they can make a big charge here the next couple of months. So they will qualify for the NCAAs, but a tough go so far for Stephen DeLisio, and hopefully he and his team will get their act together as we proceed.
Well, speaking of the NCAAs, any other thoughts, Gary, outside of golf, whether it's March Madness or Patriots or Reds, anything pop into your head?
Well, big day for the Patriots. They've made four signings today and are free agents. They have the new starting tight end. And I don't have the names in front of me, but a big day for Bill Belichick and spending some serious money on these guys.
So I know he got Jonnu Smith is the big tight end, and I know Joe Tooney has left. He's gone over to Kansas City, but I didn't know they made other signings, too. That's good.
Yeah, they made four. So that's encouraging for all of us Patriots fans. I'm afraid the Bruins and the Celtics, from my perspective, Rick, are just treading water, sign of mediocrity, but still a long ways to go before playoff time. But obviously the big thing this week and next, of course, will be the women's and men's NCAA double basketball tournaments, March Madness, after we missed it all last March because of the pandemic. And my favorite team either of these tournaments, my favorite team are the UConn women.
Yes.
Of course, they're a top seed.
Oh, Tim will go with you on that one, yep.
And so we have a lot to look forward to on the basketball side in particular.
And my daughter's school has made it. They've made it to the tourney. Drexel is in, so I got to pull for Drexel.
Outstanding. Outstanding. And we'd love to see it. Drexel could be one of those Cinderella teams. We're always looking for some Cinderella teams in both tournaments. And so we get that to keep coming this weekend. And beyond that, of course, we lost Marvin Hagler over the weekend. Marvelous Marvin Hagler.
Yeah.
He left his mark, fantastic legacy. Locally, of course, we get some football teams playing, which is great to see. And I'm afraid they'll be out there practicing today in that cold weather. But we have high school football in March, and that's a good thing.
Gary, I love the optimism. I love listening to you. And there's no holiday next Monday, so hopefully we'll do it again.
Let's plan on it, and have a great week.
Thank you, Gary. You as well. Stay safe.
Thanks, Rick.
Okay, bye-bye. That's Gary Larrabee, who is a golf historian, sports writer, and just a super nice guy, man. Just knows everything about sports. We're going to have Mike Grenier coming up in a little while, but first we need to take a break, and we're going to check in with the other end of the spectrum, a very young Gloucester High School football coach, Dan O'Connor. And we'll be talking with him about their win. They actually came away with a win over Saugus, even though Saugus had the advantage offensively. And we'll talk with Coach O'Connor about that in just a few minutes.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning to replace the windows in your home, I have just two words for you. Anderson Windows. Anderson is the most trusted name in windows throughout the United States. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Okay, we are back now with Gloucester High School football coach Dan O'Connor, starting his second season as the man at Gloucester High School and succeeding so many great coaches over there. Coach, welcome back to MSO, and I got to ask you, how does it feel contrasted to a year and a half ago, your first game? I mean, this was a big win for you guys.
It was, but you know, the most important thing, the first thing you realize, it's a lot colder this time around than the first time we took the field back in 2019.
Oh yeah,
it feels really good, you know, and for our guys to get off the way that they did Saturday afternoon, really meant a lot to them, and you know, a lot of these kids have been working all spring, all summer, all fall and into the winter to get on the field and have this opportunity, and they came out and they were riled up and they were ready to play.
You know, it had to be hard coming off the season that you guys had. And how many seniors do you have, Dan?
This year we have 8 seniors, a couple of new kids that have come out for the first time.
Okay.
To join us. So we're still dependent on a lot of younger kids, but you know, those seniors that are contributing, you know, right off the get-go are really excited to have this opportunity and understand, really that they're fortunate to. And looking back a couple weeks ago, I'm not sure I would have been able to tell you that they were going to have a season.
Yeah, we've talked with so many coaches, and yourself included earlier. Just talked with Jim Rudloff a few minutes ago from Marblehead, and across the spectrum, everybody has this in perspective as to what's gone on in the last year. And this is, you know, it's a global pandemic, and it was looking pretty bleak there for a while, and in many cases it has been bleak for people, but all of that is in the past. The kids have something to look forward to. There's almost a sense of something being normal again. We could end up with end of the year activities, but here you guys are playing football in the NEC. Tell me a little bit about this first game, Dan, how it went.
Yeah, you know, we were fortunate enough that our guys were able to pounce on some loose balls, and take advantage of some turnovers from Saugus. You know, and just being in the right spot at the right time, that was so huge for us. It was something that we didn't do a great job of last year. We scored on our first three scoring drives were 20 yards, 2 yards, and 4 yards.
Okay.
Our defense really set our offense up and put them in great position. And the offense capitalized, and they were able to put points on the board. We kind of fell into a rut there in the middle half of the game. Saugus got their feet under them and put up some points. And in the end, you know, one score game headed into the fourth quarter, and, you know, I thought our defense played extremely well. We were able to make a couple of key stops, and when we needed it, sophomore Frank DeSisto on a short yardage situation. We just wanted to hopefully get the first down, but he just took it 57 yards to the house to really ice the game for us deep in the fourth quarter.
Okay, it looks as though your defense stood tall, and I'm guessing that maybe this week a little bit more emphasis on offense. Is that the idea, or is it just continue doing, just trying to get the kids to learn a little bit more, which where it's been such a short preseason?
It's a little bit of both. You know, we've been preaching all along is that, you know, let's work on getting better every day. You know, I listened to been talking to Coach Cummings from Saugus, and I was talking to you, Rick, actually last week, and just talking about, you know, the perspective of it's not about focusing on what your opponent is doing, because you could, you know, prepare Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday for one team, get a phone call Wednesday night, and come Thursday morning, you could be St. Mary's getting ready to go into St. John's Prep and play them on 24 hours notice.
Right.
You know, so it's about what you're doing and getting your kids familiar with your concepts and just getting better each and every day.
That kind of blows everything out of the water, too. I mean, I know coaches might be upset by that, but as a fan, I'm thinking, that is so cool. You had two games, in other words, four teams involved. Half of those teams were canceled, and yet the remaining teams ended up being able to schedule each other, and the kids got to play. So your point is well taken. Just you know, you prepare your team to do the best it can against anybody.
Yeah, exactly, and that's you know what any coach is really able to do right now. You know, and try to get their kids, and I think the kids understand too, and that's the most important part and the most impressive part I've seen with our kids is really taking these protocols and the things that they're being asked to do seriously.
All right, what's coming up I'm sorry for interrupting, Dan. What's coming up this?
You're fine, you're fine.
Thanks, Coach. What's coming up this week, and where's the game?
So we're hosting Salem, 5 o'clock start down here at Newell Stadium.
That's on Friday?
And Friday night, yeah, Friday at 5. And, you know, it's going to be cold. It's different, you know. We got snow in the forecast for the second game of the season, and it's a different atmosphere down there right now.
Coach, congratulations! It's got to feel good, and keep it going, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. Take care.
Yep.
All right, that's Dan O'Connor, who is the high school football coach at Gloucester High School in his second season, and a former student and a very young man and a very nice guy as well. Just always thinking positive, as most coaches do. All right. thinking about Jim Redlaw. Okay, let's just get moving on here. Need to take a quick break. Come back with Mike Grenier. We'll talk some basketball here on North Shore Sports Night. I'm Rick Moore, along with our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. Bill Newell hanging in there. Tim Kearns, not available tonight, but he'll be back next weekend. If you count Monday as a weekend.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning to replace the windows in your home, I have just two words for you. Anderson Windows. Anderson is the most trusted name in windows throughout the United States. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at moynihanlumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Alrighty then, we're back now with Mike Grenier, also a sports journalist, primarily with the Salem News, but able to write tall buildings and leap bounds and all that stuff.
Oh,
Mike,
yeah.
How you doing, Mike?
Thank you for that. Good. A little nippy, right? It's great that these high school kids are back playing football, right, Rick? And these kids are so excited. I'm not sure you could tell whether they're playing football or anything else. But man, the weather has been up and down, to say the least, hasn't it, for those kids?
You know, what's funny is my daughter, her freshman year in high school, Her first day of tryouts for lacrosse, it was 26 degrees. And, of course, as a high school freshman girl, you're thinking style. And she went with shorts and a T-shirt.
Sure.
And I've never seen anybody so cold in my life.
Oh, yeah.
But that was 26. It didn't even get up to 26 today. It was cold.
Oh, yeah. I have a nephew, 15 years old, a freshman at Central Catholic here in Lawrence, a big football school, obviously, sort of like St. John's Prep. But he's a freshman. He's on the freshman football team, a lineman. And he's been out in this frigid weather. You know, these 15-year-old kids, they don't complain. They just want to play.
Well, that's the thing. And, you know, the weather, as we all know here, you know, in Cape Ann, the North Shore, it goes up and down. It was 60 a couple of days ago, and today the wind chill was around zero.
Yeah, it was.
And the kids are durable. And as you say, man, they're happy to be out there.
Just happy to be out there.
You know, Mike, it seems like we're treading water here with the Celtics, and I think that's where we should start. We can talk about other stuff,
sure.
But
I
just feel like we're just treading water.
Well, I agree. I heard Gary Larrabee say that, my old colleague, and he's correct. I mean, last night I fully expected the Celtics to win in a blowout. The Houston Rockets had lost 15 in a row. Now it's 16. Their worst losing streak in 53 years.
Mm.
So, and the Celtics, yet the Celtics gave up like 32, 34 points in the first quarter. It was a concern, and I'm practically yelling at the TV screen, where's the defense? Where's the defense? But obviously they kicked it into higher gear in the second quarter and pulled away. But it's kind of like a hollow win in the sense that they badly needed the win.
Mm-hmm.
Go a couple of games over 500. However, it's kind of a hollow win in the sense that you really can't judge how well you're progressing against a team like you, which basically had a G League team, sort of a farm team out there against the Celtics last night. Obviously a much truer test, Rick, and will be against the Utah Jazz tomorrow night at the Garden. Utah has the best record in the NBA, a legitimate contender for the title. Rudy Gobert, the center, yesterday had 28 rebounds to go with like 20 points.
Bill Russell style, all right.
Yeah, exactly. You don't hear that kind of number anymore, that many rebounds, 28 rebounds. So it's obviously going to be a great test. Donovan Mitchell, they have all kinds of players in Utah and a good bench as well. So that'll be a much fairer test, sort of a litmus test, to see if the Celtics are making any progress. But, you know, we've been through this before. Every time the Celtics win one or two games, you get encouraged, and they lose to, let's say, a so-called inferior team, and you say, where is this team going?
Mm.
You know, so, you know, I think a couple of individuals we can talk about here about having ups and downs. One of them is Kemba Walker.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking up today. He's got his lowest scoring average since 2015.
Mm.
It's also his lowest shooting percentage since 2015. And, you know, so you don't know if he's starting to decline or if it's because he's got a minutes restriction and, you know, Brad Stevens doesn't play him on back-to-back nights. So that's going to be an interesting situation to see how that evolves as the games get more important and as the playoff positioning gets more important. And I think that's a key guy to be watching out for. And on the flip side, a guy who's ascending is Robert Williams.
Yes, absolutely.
And, you know, Rick, we love Bill Russell, the way he played, and there's no way I'm comparing Robert Williams to Bill Russell. But in terms of his athletic skill, his ability to be, it's like the only Celtic who can go to the glass and block shots the way he does, and he's so quick off his feet. He's also extremely athletic in taking the alley-oop passes and dunking. So he's a kid who's made enormous progress, I think, this season.
He seems to have that instinct on defense, doesn't he?
He sure does. And you know, he's so quick off his feet. Sometimes you can't picture him making a block shot, but he's quick enough to get over there and block a shot. There's one thing that Russell did that Robert Williams has still to learn, and that is to keep the ball in play.
To a Celtic, yeah.
Yeah, you have to exactly keep the ball in play when you're blocking a shot. But obviously, players today love to send a message by sending the ball into the fourth.
Mm-hmm.
But Robert Williams has tremendous potential, and everybody's calling for him to get more minutes. And Brad Stevens has been reluctant to do that because Robert Williams has a history of hip problems, and he's missed a few games this season with a hip problem. He missed a lot of last season with a hip problem. But he's certainly a promising young guy. All the players this season, he's made the most progress.
Oh, yeah. Now, Mike, you talked about the possible descendants of Kemba Walker. We don't know yet. We talked about that with Kyrie Irving. We thought he was on the downslide. But then he comes and plays with Brooklyn, and, you know, you're talking about the first couple of games after the All-Star break, And it was, to me, a complete defensive breakdown for the Celtics against Brooklyn, and Kyrie just torched them.
Right. You're right. Absolutely. There's no question. They've had defensive breakdowns, team defensive breakdowns.
Yes, yes.
Against even the lesser, like the Atlanta Hawks. They gave up 120. I mean, there was 125 points to bad teams. That's just not in the, should not be in the cards.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to win playoff series playing defense like that, no matter how good your offense is. Doesn't matter how many points Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown combine for if they don't play team-wide defense. And now, obviously, getting Marcus Smart back will help in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
But again, as we know, he's on a minutes restriction, at least for the next few games here, so he can't have the impact that he'd love to have. And I think, obviously, defense can be infectious as well as offense. In other words...
Oh, yeah.
So if Marcus Smart is laying out and hitting the floor and taking charges and making extra effort, the other players will pick up on that because he kind of holds them accountable.
All the great Celtic teams, Mike, hasn't their trademark been defense?
No question. And even the most recent championship team, 2008, you couldn't have gotten a more effective or intense defensive player than Kevin Garnett.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Tony Allen.
And that takes some sacrifice, doesn't it?
I'm sorry?
That takes some sacrifice and discipline to do that.
Correct. You know, it's funny. A phrase I like to use about defense where it comes into play with NBA players because they're so good on offense is defense isn't about effort. It's about extra effort.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning extra effort, like you said, making a sacrifice and really, putting an extra, putting your body on the line, putting yourself in a position to take a charge, that hurts to take a charge. Marcus Smart takes a lot of charges, and physically that hurts. But it does cause a turnover for the other team. And it just takes that effort on defense because you want most players, the tendency is to save your energy for the offensive end. But if you really want to be a great team, you have to sacrifice and play defense too. And we're seeing that with a couple of Celtics on an individual basis, but we've yet to see it on a team-wide basis.
Mm-hmm.
Marcus Smart can play defense. I think Jaylen Brown, for the most part, plays very good defense. And we're seeing Robert Williams really making tremendous effort on defense. I think players should be inspired by the way he's playing on defense.
Well, you know, the other thing is, I've noticed when Jason Tatum has his greatest games, it's not with the most points. It's when he does exactly what you just said, when he plays both ways. Because sometimes I've seen him on defense, and it's like, where the hell did he come from?
Right.
You know, and that kind of effort. And you know what's funny, Mike, is talking with Tom Sawyer. He's the Lynn Classical girls basketball coach. And he was saying one of the best plays the other night that his team executed was when one of his players, I don't want to say she gave up on offense, but she had that extra effort to go back on defense and prevented a play that helped get the game into overtime. Just that one special extra effort on defense. And, I guess it's a lesson in life. You just got to keep moving.
That's right. And you know what? When you get a play like that, like you mentioned, that girl made, it sparks the entire team. Now, it's funny because Robert Williams made that kind of play a couple nights, last night I believe it was, where he got a defensive rebound, and then he was the first player up the floor, even though he was the last player at the baseline. He went 94 feet.
Again, that's Bill Russell-like.
Yeah, and he went 92 feet and took a lob pass and dunked it. It was like, I thought it was an incredible play. And to me, that should spark the entire team. So, and maybe it will as he gets more minutes and he gets more street credibility, as they say, or credibility from his peers. But this kid is playing inspiring defense. And right now, that's the need. And Marcus, you know that Marcus Smart's going to be there on defense. And the players should feed off of that as well.
So, all right, so bottom line, Mike, is do they have... In your opinion, do they have the talent to get better and to do better?
They have the talent to do better. I don't know if they have the all-around talent to go deep into the playoffs unless they move into their second or third position. You know, as we know, you're familiar with Philadelphia, what they're doing right now. And, of course, even with Joel Embiid out, they won by like 35 points over the weekend. He's out for a couple weeks with a knee. You know, obviously, they got to move into a position where, right now, Milwaukee's up there. The Nets, obviously, might be the team to beat in Philadelphia. The Celtics cannot afford to be in that fourth or fifth spot and then play, say, Philly You know, if they dropped to the number six spot, obviously they would have to play Philadelphia, Milwaukee, or the Nets in the first round, and that would be almost a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like it would be virtually a first round knockout. So they have to play better to get up into that maybe that third spot where they would have home court advantage and play a number six seed or a number seven seed. You know, like the Pacers or Toronto, teams that are sort of hanging around 500 right now. The Celtics, unfortunately, still hanging around 500.
Yeah.
And now they have to play the Utah Jazz tomorrow, who they have the best record in the NBA.
So all right. Well, let's.
There's still so much to do for the Celtics to accomplish here.
Okay. Your assignment for next week, Mike, is to explain to me the college stuff that's going. March Madness. I need a little advice on that for next week.
I watched it all weekend. And, you know, this whole thing about replacement teams adds even more mystery and chaos to it, you know?
Well, as I was telling Gary, my daughter's school, Drexel, has made it in. And,
yes, I saw that, Rick. I heard you talking about
that's
that.
Pretty exciting for us.
I've gone past the Drexel campus on several occasions when I've been in Philadelphia.
Uh-huh. Oh, it's beautiful. And, you know, of course, they're the Butts Penn, so they got the schools. They're literally, virtually across the street from each other. It's really cool.
Great.
And the Drexel
Great.
Women, I guess, have done very well, too. So it's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
But so next week, we're going to talk both Celtics and March Madness.
And where's our friend Tim?
Tim is not available tonight, but good Lord willing, the crick don't rise. He'll be back with us next week.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that.
All is well. All is well. All right.
All right. Take care, Rick.
Thank you, Mike. Stay safe.
Yep.
Take care. Bye-bye. That's Mike Grenier, who is a sports journalist, and again, another super guy and just knows everything about sports on all levels. Anyway, thank you for joining us. If you'd like to get a hold of us, please do at msonewsports@gmail.com. That's our email address, msonewsports@gmail.com. I want to thank all of our staff here, which includes Bill Newell and Bill Proposky and Tim Kearns and Marty Smith, and just thank all the dudes, all the guys for helping me out, and thanks all to our guests tonight. Thank you for listening. And please, again, join us again next Monday night and check out msonewsports.com as often as you can. I'm Rick Moore. This is msonewsports.com.